the Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. It's a packed podcast this week. We'll hear from Duncan Barks about Health Information Radio, a new DAB service. It's gone live this week to report the facts around coronavirus. Plus, as more broadcasters start working from home, can the internet cope and what should you be doing to equip yourself or your on-air teams for a long period of remote working? Amid all the chaos, the warm familiarity of nostalgia. We'll have more radio moments from David Lloyd's glorious archive.
Original music for this podcast was composed by
Macasso. But after a couple of weeks away from your ears, Radio Today's founder and editor Roy Martin is back. Hello, Roy.
Hi, Stu. Not really been anywhere, but yeah, I appreciate the sentiment. What has happened in the last 2 weeks?
I know. Away. Me and you have been self-isolating for years now. Everybody else has stolen our idea.
And all this working from home malarkey. I mean, we started it years ago, ever since we got fired from our proper job. What's going on?
The world has gone crazy. So we're here to bring a bit of normality, although we can't promise to avoid talking about the C word.
Indeed, because as we are doing now, we're remotely connected to each other and we're doing our show from home, as seems to be the new trend across the radio industry.
Like I say, it's been years since I've been avoiding being in the same room as you, breathing the same air, or at least trying to.
I know, it's just crazy. And by the time you hear this particular podcast, I'm sure some radio stations will have literally gone into lockdown or just closed the doors and said, right, we're going automated, we can remote control everything, we can remote voice track, we don't need to be in the building until this all blows over. So it's just an unprecedented situation, isn't it? I don't know how it's going to end.
Yeah, and I think it is going to go on a long time. I mean, it's not our place to comment and talk about that, really. But in terms of your kind of emergency planning and your contingency, I think this is the long haul, isn't it? And we've seen lots of pictures of radio presenters already this week doing their shows from home. It's quite geeky to kind of see what mic they've got, whether they've got a mixer, whether they're straight into the computer, what they're using to connect on air and all that stuff.
And you've got to plan ahead, because can you imagine if in a couple of weeks' time, all this is set up, we're all working from home, we're all kind of getting everything sorted, and then an OBIT procedure comes along or something like that, and it really throws everything out the window. It's just, we need to plan for the unexpected, don't we? Because when things go really bad, we need to be really good.
Yeah, and I think radio is being brilliant. I've heard some really good radio. I've been listening to quite a bit over the last few days. My radio's been on pretty much all day long, as I'm sure most people listening have had the radio on a lot as well. And radio is very powerful, as a lot of people have said, at times like these, and it's doing a fantastic job. So we must not lose sight of that, but we must also think about our people, the staff we've got, their welfare, the freelancers, the people on contracts. There's a lot going on for people running radio stations and running media organizations at the moment to be thinking about, let alone what comes out of the speakers.
We've got to prepare. And as if the current radio industry wasn't enough, there's a new radio station set up literally within about 48 hours to broadcast all of the health information in one place. It's called Health Information Radio. Don't know if you've heard about this, Stuart. You may have a guest later on in the podcast on this one.
I have, yeah. We're going to be hearing from one of the voices on air on Health Information Radio is involved in helping it run. So we'll find out a bit more about that. We're also going to have some help and tips and advice for you on using the technology to get around some of the problems of remote broadcasting. We'll hear from CleanFeed and IPDTL later on the podcast.
So if you've been listening to lots of radio, have there been any schedule changes because of what's going on?
There have been a few here and there. Obviously, at Five Live, a lot of the sports programming is no longer required because there's no sport. So Stephen Nolan was on Saturday afternoon. And then Sunday, Colin Murray was doing a phone-in and had experts on and things like that. So that's been very good. I think there are more changes coming. The BBC, so as we record this Tuesday night, the BBC's put out some information about things it's going to do differently around TV and radio and online output. Some of the radio changes, they'll be dropping programmes on the World Service and some Radio 4 programs and podcasts and things that they're not going to do. They're going to pause them and divert the staff elsewhere. Obviously, they're working on reduced staffing levels, and quite a big change for the BBC as well. Its radio news bulletins are going to get simulcast across Radio 2, Radio 3, Radio 4 and 5 Live, and 6 Music will also use the same scripts. And they can redeploy those people who are making those bulletins onto other bits of radio output. So I think we're going to start noticing some big changes to how things sound a bit on air, and the BBC using its resources in more of a pooled way. And I'm sure commercial radio is going to be doing the same as well.
Now, is this just during the crisis, or is this the new way of doing it? Or will they realise once it all dies down that they can do this to save money, and maybe they'll just continue doing it?
Who knows? I mean, from the BBC's perspective, obviously a lot of cuts that they've got coming up anyway, and there will be some changes to some of the news output as a result of those cuts. So some of these new ways of working that they're going to be trialling, perhaps at short notice without a lot of planning, might provide a bit of a blueprint for how they go forward when this finally all ends. But I'm sure, you know, in terms of what Global and Bauer do with news provision, they've already got a lot of hubbing going on. Don't know any of the detail about what they're going to be doing, but there's a lot of resource sharing that can go on, a lot of remote working, obviously.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. And of course, in the industry, lots of changes, because all the events that were planned for the next few months have been postponed or cancelled. Just this week, the BBC Music and Audio Awards have been postponed. They were supposed to take place on Tuesday night. The upcoming IRN Awards, the Young Audio Awards, the Hospital Broadcasting Awards and Conference, Radio Days Europe, the Student Radio Conference, the NAB Show in Vegas, the Audio Train events, which was event which was going to take place in April, the Podcast Awards, the Radio Festival. None of these are happening in the next couple of months. So hopefully the majority of them will be rescheduled. But for when? Because if this is going to be here for another 12 months, it's hard to know when they're going to take place.
Yeah, and as regular listeners to this podcast will know, I got a passport specially, and I was going to leave the country for the first time in about 15 years to go to Portugal.
You're not destined to leave the country, are you, at all? But maybe we can sort the flights out for somewhere else and just have a weekend away. Well, we can't, can we? We can't leave the country at the moment.
No, can't leave the country.
The flights are... Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so maybe the Arias were the last kind of major radio event that any of us went to for a while.
It will be, yeah. I think, we look forward to the next event like that, which may be months or if not years away.
A couple of other things away from coronavirus that I wanted to just touch on this week, because we've not been on really, me and you, for a couple of weeks, and there have been quite a few things that happened. We were hoping this week to get somebody from Bauer on the podcast to talk about the Competition and Markets Authority decision, which has only happened in the last week. Can you believe that was only in the last week? Mm. Obviously, events have overtaken us, and Bauer couldn't get us anybody to talk on the podcast this week, because clearly they've got other things going on that they need to prioritise. But I thought we should just mention it, really. So the CMA have said, yes, you can have all these radio stations from these four groups that you bought. All they've got to do is guarantee the terms of the FRS stations for the next 10 years. So it seems like a decent deal for Bauer.
Yeah, and after waiting so long, they can finally sort everything out. The world just turns upside down. So they probably have to put all their plans on hold for now, I'm sure. So we shall wait a little bit longer and see exactly what they've got up their sleeves for this.
We don't know at the moment when the whole separate period will end. I'm not sure it has officially, but presumably when it does, Bauer can, you know, start sharing some resources around the coronavirus stuff. So it actually will help them a little bit in terms of some of the smaller stations that aren't part of a group or haven't been part of a group during hold separate.
Yeah, it'll be small steps, I'm sure, and good luck to everybody in Bauer as they go through the change, as we call it.
Some very sad news this week as well. Last Thursday, we heard about the sudden death of Pete Mitchell, well known for his pioneering shows on Piccadilly and Key 103 in the 90s, championing the Manchester music scene. Of course, he was part of Pete and Jeff with Jeff Lloyd on Virgin on the Evening Show and The Breakfast Show, did a few years at Radio 2 and 6 Music, and then returned to Golden Square. More recently, he'd been making music documentaries for Virgin Radio. And I wanted to play you a bit of this. I spoke to Pete Mitchell for Paul Radio Today back in 2011. This was before we even had a podcast, but I'd recorded the interview because I was going to write it up to be included on the website and in eRadio. He was just about to launch Absolute Radio 60s the following week, and he was going back to Absolute after 6 years away.
Well, you know, all my friends are still there. You know, just because I wasn't on the radio there didn't mean I was not hanging around with Jeff or Annabelle, and my mates are still there. You know, I've had mates up from my virgin days over the weekend that's just gone by. So it wasn't kind of like walking somewhere strange, because I knew people and, you know, I'm well thought of there and I like them a lot. So it was kind of I got a warm feeling in my stomach. It was nice to walk back in there and it's quite exciting launching a service. It's a station that seems to be going to go on and have some success with what it's doing. You know, it is breaking the mould as a station, remember. It's not your typical commercial radio station. The fact that they've got these decade stations and they're trying to do a lot of work on the internet and with, you know, social media. And they're kind of stranded between Glan commercial radio and, you know, the work of the BBC. And I think they, you know, stride that middle ground, Absolute, where they want to make documentaries, want to make music specials and want to, you know, safeguard radio. So it's not just jukebox songs just being churned out day after day. They want to actually put something, give it some context, you know, paint some radio pictures with it all. So I'm excited that, you know, the stuff that I make and do is going to be on not only just 60s across all the services. I'm doing stuff for 70s and 80s and 90s and everything. So mm-hmm. I just did the last REM interview for them last week, which went out last night on the main station. So I'm excited that I can, you know, I've got a creative outlet, really, more than anything.
And being reunited with Jeff as well for the launch on air, does that kind of
bring
it back full circle for you?
Yeah, well, I'll be on air with Jeff, I think, on the 21st. Pete and Jeff will be back together in the studio on Absolute Radio, and then he's going to join me on the launch, which is the 22nd, I think. Have I got the dates right there? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's next Tuesday, 22nd.
So I'll be on. I think I'm going on Monday doing the whole show, and then he's going to come on, because Jeff's got a brunch show on a Sunday on that, so he'll be on picking his favourite Beatle record throughout the week, and we'll get some other people on. We've got quotes from all sorts of people, but it'll be exciting. We've always remained friends and everything, and I like him a lot, and he's very funny, and he's very successful, and I like to think I may have played some part in that somewhere along the line in dragging him up from the gutter and dusting him off and giving him a chance. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, since you left Virgin, you've obviously done quite a variety of different things, including kind of some overnight stuff on Radio 2 that people might have heard you, XFM Breakfast and things like that.
Well, I mean, I sat in for Steve Wright, I covered for Terry Wogan, I covered for Ken Bruce, you know, I covered for Dermot O'Leary, you know, I did Janice Long's show, I did Breakfast on 6, I've done it all. And I went out there and worked, not by design, by accident more than anything. I found myself working and getting offered a lot of work. And the thing with the BBC, I always wanted to make documentaries. And I've lost count how many I've made now. It must be between 20 and 30 docs that have been broadcast. So I've had success. And it kind of feels like it's a full circle. And coming back to One Golden Square just feels like it's the right time for me. It really does. And I'm not just saying that for the quote in the paper. I'm happy to be going back there. I really am. You know.
I mean, when you were obviously starting out at Piccadilly, was it an ambition of yours to get to Radio 1 or Radio 2 in those days, or was that something you never even thought of?
I don't think it was achievable. I don't think many of us had a career plan. Whatever will be, will be. And it's a very difficult industry to survive in now, anyway. But I mean, some of my favourite times were my formative years at Piccadilly. I was at Piccadilly a long time. It was 12 years or something nuts. I was there a very long time. And then I went to Virgin Radio for a long time, maybe 8 or 9 years or something, maybe 7 or 8 years. So I've been loyal to the companies. And the shortest period of time I spent 4.5 years at the BBC and did a year at XFM, which I didn't really enjoy. And, you know, throughout that period, I've still been making my docs, my music specials that have still gone out on the BBC. And I think, you know, I just think, looking back at Pick and all that, I think, you know, there'd never been a planner. You just keep to fall into things, you know. You bump into people you ask you to do things, and that leads to something else. And before you know it, you're covering Steve Wright in the afternoon, for Christ's sake. I don't know what that's all about.
Big show.
The big show, I know. It's weird, isn't it? But at least I can say I've done it, you know. I'm not necessarily say I'd want to go back and do that, because, you know, it's not kind of where I'm at, really, but, you know. My time at the BBC was enjoyable, but I got there when it was going through this really weird you know, transitional period, the BBC, which I don't need to tell you of all people what has been going on there with the compliance, you know, the cutbacks, 20% off here and there, redundancies. Although it was really interesting for me, and I met some lovely people and some of my friends, it was a difficult time for people working at the BBC at the minute. It's very difficult. They're up against it, which I've got a lot of admiration for the BBC, you know, as an organisation, but I think it's going to change forever, isn't it, the whole thing?
I suppose you've been probably really busy over the last few years, even though listeners and audiences haven't noticed it, if you know what I mean.
Documentary's not made in a couple of days.
Well, no, it's quite different from kind of being publicly on air every morning at breakfast or whatever to then doing lots of things still, but not seeing it.
People get used to their regular presenters, do you know what I mean? And I can be months on end in my little studio here, you know, and just coming out, blinking in the light, producing an hour's radio that's taken me months to do. Think about it. Is it worth doing it? I don't know, but you have to do something. We have to do something that makes it sound like we're actually thoughtful about radio and what we do. And we're not the BBC, so, you know, we have to try and make an effort that we can produce high-end quality music specials and documentaries. And Absolute Radio, I think, achieves that. I really do.
Pete Mitchell talking to us 9 years ago, blimey, and there's some good reflections on bits of his career up to that point. Our thoughts with Pete's family and friends and all colleagues that he worked with across the industry. And I know it's hit Jeff particularly hard as well. So thinking of you this week, mate. We also lost Roy Hood, another legend of radio, big name on Radio 2 comedy and Radio 4 comedy with the News Hoodlines and various things over many years. So a couple of tragic losses in amongst everything that has been going on this week. A couple of other big industry stories that kind of just got missed a little bit because of everything that has been going on. Chris Country got sold, Roy.
Yeah, Chris Stevens. He did good. He was texting me from his Bentley the other day, actually. he said it's not going to change his lifestyle at all, and he'll still be running the radio station, but he is installing 10 extra plasmas in his penthouse apartment overlooking Media City UK. So, yeah, well done, Chris. And Nation, of course, half owned the station in its later years. So it'd be interesting to see if it, you know, takes a different direction or just continues to, you know, to serve the country music fan community as it always has done.
Yeah, if you missed that, I've been sold to a company called Countryline, who have an app and are very kind of big on the country music fan scene. But as you say, Chris is going to carry on running it on behalf of them. And Smooth Extra and Heart Extra disappeared from D1 and been replaced by Smooth and Heart. What's that about?
Yeah. So it was never really clear why Smooth Extra and Heart Extra existed, apart from to provide sort of nationwide coverage for the brand. There's probably some political reasons, because half of the brands were owned by Communicore, so it wouldn't have been fair to put up a global competitor against the local brands, which were owned by Communicore, if that makes sense. Mm. So hopefully those problems have been ironed out now, and we've got Smooth and Heart, the main stations, national. It still leaves some confusion in the marketplace, and this happened back in, you know, 10 years ago when I was there, when the Smooth went national. The local programs still exist, just, you know, a click away on the digital radio dial. So some people listening in the Northwest, for example, they might automatically be on Smooth UK, and they'll be thinking, well, where's Darren gone at breakfast? It's Jenny on now. And they might not know, just to move that dial a little bit to get Smooth Northwest for all the local stuff. So hopefully it won't affect them too much. They'll still get the listeners. If they can educate local listeners that there's two versions of the station now, then that'll be even better. But I'm sure there's a plan. I mean, it'll all be one thing eventually, won't it? So.
Right. Well, we've got lots coming up, so stay tuned to the podcast. Coming up in a minute, we're going to hear from Duncan Barks from Health Information Radio. And we've got the guys from Clean Feed and IPDTL, Mark and Kevin, who are going to tell us about how their products can help you in this time of crisis. And hopefully, Roy, I won't see you for a very long time as we continue to self-isolate. You know, it has its benefits, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've got a little jingle for you, though, just in case you wanted to do a coronavirus update. Are you ready for this? This is from TM Studios. This is new. You can have this free of charge if you want. Here we go. Corona update.
I'm not sure that's quite striking the right tone. I don't know what you think of that. But.
Corona, it's kind of sexing it up a little bit, isn't it? Having a sung jingle for a disease update or a virus update. Yeah, I'm not sure many people will be using that. But it's there if you want it. Get in touch with TM. I'm sure they'll send it over to you.
It's free to use. Excellent.
All right. Get on with the show. Let's do it.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionics Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Radio Today. This is the Radio Today programme, and next up, how radio has reacted to the coronavirus pandemic. We've got a brand new radio station that just launched days ago. It's all happened quite quickly. It's called Health Info Radio. It's on various DAB platforms. We'll speak to one of the people behind it in a moment. First, here's a little listen to how it sounds.
This is Health Information Radio on DAB digital radio across parts of the UK and online at healthinforadio.co.uk. Mass gatherings will no longer be supported by the emergency services. Further measures may be employed in the future that impose more social distancing. They could be introduced with limited notice. In a few days' time, those above the age of 70 and/or those with pre-existing health conditions are likely to be asked to self-isolate for 12 weeks. If you can, obtain extra medications from your pharmacy to cover any period of isolation you might need to undertake. If you have a relative in a high-risk group...
Duncan Barks is here, one of the team from Health Info Radio. Welcome to the podcast, Duncan. Thanks for coming on.
Hello.
Where did this idea come about? It's obviously quite a quick turnaround.
Do you know, it happened really quickly, Stuart. It happened over the weekend, and there are various people who are involved in the small-scale DAB trials that are happening in various parts of the UK. And we all know each other, or we know each other through each other, if that makes sense. And all of a sudden, what happened is the WhatsApp kind of pinged into life, and there are various messages, mostly initiated by Simon Hardwick, who's involved in the south coast of England in terms of running a couple of small-scale DAB services in Brighton, and he's on in Portsmouth, I think, as well. And he said, look, I've got this idea, and then it kind of snowballed a little bit, because there's a guy called Ash Elford who's been leading the way with small-scale DAB in Portsmouth with a trial there in association with Angel Radio. There's a guy up in Birmingham in Brum called Dr. Dean Kavanagh. He's our science man. And then there's myself, and we all kind of thought, well, there's something in this. And Simon's initial message was, look, I want to do something. I want to use small-scale DAB platforms to set up a service, not for profit, so it's not commercially driven. It is there really to try and provide information at a time when people want information, perhaps without the opinion and the clutter and the noise that exists elsewhere. You know, so it's just telling people what coronavirus is, what it's about, what people need to do, and just updating people. And really, in the space of about 48 hours, we managed to pull something together, and Health Information Radio was born.
And you're on DAB in a few areas now, looking to get on in more as well, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, we're using the small-scale DAB trials. So if anyone's listening to this podcast and they fancy donating us a bit of space, because everyone who's involved, and I'll go through the list shortly, have done it in kind. I mean, there's no money changing hands here. So currently, we're on air in Aldershot and Woking, Brighton, Hove. That gets into East Worthing as well on the south coast, Birmingham, Cambridge, Glasgow, Portsmouth and Norwich. We're about to get on DAB in London inside the next couple of days. And we're looking to spread the word, really, yeah.
And it's been quite a quick turnaround, as you say. So presumably Ofcom were quite helpful in getting you a DSPS licence in no time at all.
As you know, I know very little about the tech stuff here, Stuart, as it took us about 2 weeks to sort out this particular connection and recording. So Simon Hardwick and Ash Elford are very much the tech guys, with Dean Kavanagh as well. But we managed to get it up and running pretty quickly. And it's good, actually. It shows that if there's good intents and well-meaning, you can make stuff like this happen.
So what's on it? We talked about just kind of information without comment, and it's been updated quite often as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's been updated on an hourly, if necessary, basis, certainly a daily basis. Dr. Dean Kavanagh is our science man, as well as a radio man as well. So anything that's broadcast goes through his filter, and also some clinicians that he works with. So that's that side of it. The scripts get produced, they go into a central place, and we have a number of people who are involved currently who record the information and the scripts. I'm one of them. Simon does it as well. There's a lady called Karen and various other people coming to the fore, really. So, yeah, we're in a position as a result of technology and home studios where we can update stuff as and when it's announced by the government.
And a bit of help from some of the companies involved in radio as well. So AIR have done your website, Play Out One helping as well.
Yeah, Nation Broadcasting, Angel Radio down in Portsmouth, because obviously that they're partly running the trial to do with small-scale DAB. You've got Future Digital, Norfolk, Switch Radio, BFBS, Totally Radio. You mentioned AIR and Play Out One, I think. There's 80s Rhythm, there's SR as well. So, you know, people are coming together for the greater good, which I think in these challenging times is quite a healthy thing.
And so if somebody wants to put it onto their multiplex, they can get on your website and get in touch with you, I presume.
Yeah, go and have a look at the website. It's healthinforadio.co.uk, and if you fill out the get in touch thing there, the contact section, someone will get in contact. You know, if you want to help in any way, that is the way to do it. Really, ultimately, the aim at the moment is to get on as many DAB platforms as possible. This is not commercial, this is not for profit. It is really there to provide a service that gives people the information they need without the clutter, without the opinion, without the noise, and certainly without Piers Morgan appearing.
And I suppose helpful for older people in particular who perhaps don't have access to the internet and they just want the facts.
Do you know, this is something that I've picked up on, and it's really interesting you mention that, because a lot of the guidance, understandably so, because we're a pretty online nation these days, is go and have a look at this website, go and join Facebook, find out where your community support groups are, which of course makes sense. You know, that's a really healthy use of social media. But as you rightly pointed out, a lot of people who tend to be, not exclusively, we have silver surfers of course, but many people over the age of 70, they ain't interested in the internet, they're not online. So I think there is a gap in terms of getting the information out there and using different platforms to do that if people are not online, if they're not connected to the web. So having a radio channel that's relatively easy to find on a DAB radio, once you've found it, you can save it as a preset, and then you've got our continued loop of information as it's released from the government. And it's not just about what coronavirus is and how to stop spreading the virus. There's stuff on there, Stuart, about mental health issues, because I think this is not just a physical issue, this is a mental health issue. You know, just imagine if you're over the age of 70 and you're going to be stuck inside for 12 weeks pretty much. You know, you need to know what's going on. So there's guidance on there about how to take care of your mental health as well.
And from your point of view, obviously, as a broadcaster on the AIR at the moment, I know you do the Late Show on BBC Radio London currently. What's kind of reaction you're getting from audiences about this?
Do you know, the last couple of weeks, people were talking about it, but in a way that was more opinionated. They were talking about what's happening in other parts of Europe, wise. More not being done in the United Kingdom. And then there was a noticeable shift over the weekend. And I do a late night phone in Sunday through to Thursday. And I found it really interesting over the weekend. You just picked up on a change in terms of people's mindset. And I went on AIR on Sunday night and said, look, we're going to drop pretty much anything else we do as part of the phone in terms of talking about other issues. We're going to focus on coronavirus. And I just made the decision that it's about people having somewhere to come and talk about how they're feeling. Because, you know, there are plenty of great services out there that give you the information. 5 Live, Radio 4, you can go to LBC and Talk Radio and hear the debate about coronavirus. What we're doing on Radio London at the moment, late at night, is just giving people who I think, you know, are vulnerable, are lonely, late at night, after dark in a big city, a place to come and talk and metaphorically just have a bit of hand-holding, which might sound twee, but, you know, I reckon that's where local radio really comes into its own. And certainly the last couple of nights, we've had people who have lost their jobs in the hospitality industry come on the AIR and just say, look, I'm worried about paying the mortgage and the rent. And other people have come on and said, I'm in a similar position, this is what I'm doing. So it has shifted massively inside the last couple of days. And I think late-night radio, which I've done for many, many years, you know, there's a perfect place to help people out, give them a platform.
Good luck with Health Info Radio, and we know we've got your studio working now, so if you need to get on AIR from home, it's possible.
Yeah, you're embarrassing me now, but I said to you in an exchange on WhatsApp, I was going, look, mate, I'm an old hack, right? I can do most things, but I've got this home studio that someone wired up for me, a radio engineer, but he didn't tell me how to do it. I'm running off an old mixer that's 20 years plus in the making, which is a lovely bit of kit, but God knows how it works, you know. So, yeah, I don't know what you've done, but it's worked, so beers all round.
That's Duncan Barks talking about health information radio. David Lloyd is still to come with Radio Moments. And next, we're talking tech. Radio
Today. The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Find out how we're changing radio all over again at bionic.radio.
Lots of pictures this week of radio presenters doing their shows from home. Long gone are the days of phoning it in from your car phone, though, if you were Mike Reed in the 80s on Radio 1, late for work. There are so many ways these days to get on air in studio quality from your back bedroom or your home office or your front room. And we're going to find out about a couple of them on the podcast this week. Mark Hills is with us from Clean Feed. Hello, Mark.
Hello. How are you doing?
And I'm all right. And Kevin Leach is here from InQuality. Who make IPDTL and SIPTA Audio. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Stuart, and hi, Mark.
Hello.
It's great to be connected to you both all remotely from my home office as well, showing that it's possible.
Well, it's just as well, isn't it? Because I don't think any of the three of us have a real life office, so it's just as well.
This is true. And the products that you both make, both kind of similar things, some features the same, some different, essentially. Both CleanFeed and IPDTL will use an internet browser to get you a decent, low-latency, quality audio connection without that delay or the internet noise that you might get on something like Skype or FaceTime. And I suppose the chat we wanted to have really is just about the options that people have if they have presenters or people and volunteers who can't get into radio stations. So I guess you're both quite busy at the moment. Kevin, are you busy?
Unbelievably so. Radio people always say, taking time out of their busy schedule to talk to us. Well, I mean, it's been absurd for the last... Well, as soon as everything started going wrong in Italy, to be honest, it's been crazy ever since then. So everything happened in Italy, obviously, about a week before people started taking things seriously here. And I feel like I haven't really slept since.
And Mark, there's a presumably a lot of traffic via your service as well.
Yeah, we're seeing a good sort of upsurge of use and some interesting use cases coming up. Yeah, and it's all kicked in after last week, really, hasn't it? People really taking this seriously.
So who's using CleanFeed and what they're using it for?
Oh, a mixture. I mean, one of the things that we sort of wanted to achieve with CleanFeed was to say, now you can get clean audio from A to B, find something interesting to do with that you haven't done before. And so the recent situation has picked up more of that. So we've got everything from radio stations that can't get into their buildings to individuals doing shows from home to podcasters taking on making content in that form. So it's a whole variety and a few sort of oddball cases as well.
And I know, Kevin, obviously you've got a lot of broadcasters and broadcasting companies using your product, and you've got various bolt-ons that you've been helping them with and sorting out solutions for individual presenters who perhaps didn't have access to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I spent all day Saturday touring Manchester delivering our brand new dispatch box, which is a little bit of hardware to presenters who, for whatever reason, might not want to run something in a web browser on their computer. I mean, a good reason for that is if they're already running their scripts and things on their laptop, then the last thing you want to do is put all your eggs in one basket. So it's quite handy to have something else to run your audio connectivity through. And also, as we know, without being too disparaging, not all on-air talent are the most technically astute, and I'm trying to choose my words wisely here, and therefore having something that they can just plug in and really is as about as idiot-proof as you can get is beneficial for some of those people. Now, but of course, if you're one of the people who I visited at the weekend, I'm not talking about you.
Obviously not. Mark, as we mentioned in our script reads on this podcast every week, you've got a free version. So in terms of getting going with it, if people have an emergency situation, it's, you know, literally 30 seconds and you can get using it.
Yeah, we've got the same idea as Kevin, which is we want this to be accessible and we want people to actually dive in and use it without getting embroiled in the technicalities. Because I think your needs are the same whether you're a technical person or not. You're probably right now in a hurry and you want to get something done and you want to get started. So I don't think it needs to be a thing about you're not technical, therefore you need this box or whatever. But what we're just trying to do, all of us, is make this process smooth and make sure that people can achieve what they want to do, which is actually make the content. They don't really care about laptops and browsers and tech stuff. It's about people making either the same content or better content because of this freedom to work from new places.
Of course, Mark, we've been trying to encourage people to do that for several years now, and pretty much every corner of the industry has waited until the crisis has happened to begin their crisis planning, which is amusing and sad in equal measures, I think.
I don't think that's industry specific, though, is it? Like, the number of companies right now that are exploring remote working options, many of them have got a fairly conventional case, perhaps, you know, a little bit of VPN or a little bit of just people getting set up at home with web apps and things. The interest is in industries like ours, where there's a certain amount of technical equipment for certain jobs to be done, and other industries pushing the envelope. So it's testing all companies across the board at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, I've used both products, and obviously the quality is great, and it's far, far superior to things like Skype and FaceTime audio. Is there a kind of easy explanation of why that is?
I would say that it's mostly down to the Opus codec. We can't say that we've done everything ourselves, and both CleanFeed and IPDTL and SIP.audio, all of these services, use the Opus codec, which is, in my opinion, the best audio codec. I mean, it depends if what you're into, isn't it? But I am into audio codecs. So a lot of people might not have given... I mean, I know some people are MP3 kind of guys, but it is the best audio codec going right now for what it is that we want to achieve, which is low delay, high quality audio. That's what we have embraced. A lot of manufacturers like Comrex, Tyline, Lucy Live, and others have also embraced this codec. It is that is the one thing that separates it from things like FaceTime and Skype. Skype kind of has threatened to use Opus over the last few years, but it's never quite achieved it.
I love a good bit of audio codec like Kevin, but also there's in a way it's just due to who you're tailoring a solution for. Any attempt to make something that's just great at everything is not going to succeed. You've got solutions like ours tailored to the pro audio market, and largely you've got these other solutions tailored towards either talking to your colleagues or talking to your grandma, those kind of things. The range of equipment that those services have to deal with is wide, and the range of poor environments, whereas there's in general an assumption when you've got a pro audio product like CleanFeed that you're getting set up with at least a semi-decent microphone and these kind of things. So it is the codec, it's that too. It's just this tailored package for what you need it for.
That was the thing I was going to say. It's important what you put into it. The connection across between two places can be fantastic, but if you've got a shoddy microphone, it's not going to sound as good as it could.
It's a really interesting topic, is this. I suspect Kevin maybe went through a similar process when in the early days of developing, but we looked at this and said, oh, well, you could compete in the conferencing space with this. But that space is so well covered by lots of people all trying to have a piece of that pie. It's very competitive, and by and large, it's hampered by poor environments. It's hampered by poor meeting rooms, people wildly off the mic, people who don't even know that they're on the wrong mic, that kind of thing.
Indeed. And you know what's happened in the last few years? I've noticed just in the last few days, when every radio presenter in the UK has got in touch and said, can I do my show from home? And my first question is, do you have a decent USB microphone? A few years ago, the answer would have been no. Whereas now, with the advent of podcasting, and now that presenters are starting to do a lot more non-linear broadcasting, most presenters now do seem to have something like that already at home, ready to plug into their computer. So I think in some ways the timing of this is terrible. Obviously, there's never really good timing for such a crisis, but the internet's ready for it, computers are ready for it, and there's enough hardware around to actually make it work.
Podcasting is interesting because it's made, you know, we say about the uptake of USB mics, the reason those products are on the market and able to be used by professional radio is because of podcasting. It's made them economically viable. You know, people are going to spend £50 on a microphone, or even £30 in some cases on a semi-decent microphone. So I think the smart broadcasting is looking a tiny little bit towards this software-based. Podcasters have started software-based just implicitly because they just started with a PC. So there's a certain smartness in broadcasting looking towards those solutions. And once upon a time, I suspect Kevin and I might have been the same. We might have shunned not having an external audio interface and using a USB microphone, but they're actually great. And they get you started, and they're really portable, and they're and they're small. So very little investment in that. And then, yeah, combine that with a piece of software that's, in our case, like a free service like CleanFeed, and you're away.
And one of the things you've been doing, Kevin, is with SIP.audio, you're interfacing your products into things that radio stations already have. Tell us how that works.
Yes, so I mentioned Comrex Access before, which I think is certainly in the UK one of the most popular pieces of hardware. Before that, it was Glen Sound Codecs that had that corner of the market for ISDN sewn up. So if you've got a Comrex codec, and I was talking to a national station today who've got a lot of Comrex codecs, and they need their presenters to be able to, a lot of their presenters to be able to connect in every day, well, they've never thought about this because they might have had two Comrex remotes that they would share throughout the station to do OBs with. Now, every presenter needs to have Kit at home, and therefore a browser-based solution is, in the short term at least, is the only real answer. So you can use our browser-based solution to connect into this existing hardware, which means that in your studio facility, you don't have to have yet another screen, which is running something web browser-based. So it gives flexibility. The other thing I was going to say is that not just for our industry, but generally, this crisis could change everything forever. Now that everybody is having to figure out how to work from home, once they've done that and they've found that it works and their employers find that it works and we bring down carbon dioxide and the rest of it, why would you go back to the way that things were?
I agree with that. Certainly in a year's time, the world's going to be a very different place for a number of reasons, but one of those will be people have explored work alternative ways of working. In many cases, they may have found it just simply doesn't work, but I think there's going to be a lot where we found that it can work and it does work. We talked about the conferencing space. I think you're going to accelerate a lot of development now in that space, and it's going to be fascinating to see.
Absolutely. I think, you know, well, there's probably a recession due, isn't there? And therefore, companies are going to have to start tightening their belts. Well, what better way to start tightening your belts by downsizing office facilities and having your staff working from home and therefore not having the same overheads?
In terms of the packets that you're sending, are we using more data to get a better connection? Is the internet going to fall over when 40 million people are working from home and suddenly the Today programme can't get on air because none of its presenters can connect to London?
I think we're all having the same experience with the mobile phone network today a little bit, aren't we? That's getting a bit flaky. These times are putting things under pressure that were not under pressure before.
Well, I live in a stone cottage, so welcome to my world. But I'll take your word on that. But in terms to answer the question, Stuart, as to whether the internet will be affected, I suppose the question is, will there be more internet use as a result of this? Because we were all still using the internet in our workplaces. Will it put more of a pressure on the home side of the network? You know, the BT home infrastructure as opposed to the BT business infrastructure? Maybe. But I think, to be honest, if it can handle teenagers playing Fortnite, then it can handle what we're doing.
Yeah, I think there's something people miss, perhaps, is that the internet is not... I don't know if that's the best way to describe this, but the internet is not so well connected sort of laterally across the network. The internet is the way, again, it's adapted to its needs, is content providers providing content for a group of consumers. And certainly this peer-to-peer case that we have with audio goes differently across the network. You've got consumers producing a lot of data going to other consumers on the network. That said, audio these days is a sufficiently small amount of data compared to a lot of things that it might be offset by that.
What's your favourite USB microphone, Stuart?
I'm a big fan of my Rode NT USB, which has served me well over the last few years.
Yeah, I like that. And I like the Samsung Q2U, which is one of the cheapest.
Oh, I've got two of those.
You even get a little stand thrown in. Blue Yeti, we don't know anymore. We used to like it. It's falling out of favour.
Any preferences, Mark?
No, but my preference is, someone did a brilliant talk at one of the conferences where they were like, the big problem with consumer microphones is usually the picture has this very glorious picture of someone with the microphone sort of 6 feet away from them on the desk. Yeah. And, you know, just casually using the microphone. And I think half these mics are decent if they just use properly.
You must talk into it like this.
Well, we're all radio folks, aren't we? We're all sort of slightly used to being quite up close and personal with the microphone, yeah, which is very different to something people are necessarily used to when they start out. So
Right. Well, thank you both for taking time out of your busy schedules to come on. Plug each. How can people find out about what you can help them with during this difficult time, Mark?
So they just go to cleanfeed.net. We do a free service and you can pay for more features if you like. But fundamentally, we're going to get your clean audio from one place to the other so that you can get done what you need to get done.
Kevin?
If it's today, we don't want any more customers. If it's tomorrow, we'll think about it. And if it's the day after, you can email us at support@sip.audio. Radio Moments,
David Lloyd. It's 20 years this week since Chris Evans sold Ginger Media, including the original Virgin Radio, to SMG for £225 million.
I mean, I paid for most of the computers and pictures on the wall and things like that. But I see, which I did. I used to come in to do the show and there'd be boxes of new computers in the hallway. And because I own the station, I'd be thinking, do we really need those? You know, and that's not what you need to be thinking, you know, just before you come and do a show. But I see you've had the place carpeted.
Yeah.
The lift's still as slow as ever.
I never get in it, otherwise I'd never start the show.
No, it's a random lift. It goes where it wants to, not necessarily where you want to.
I think there are people who've been fired that are still just going up and down waiting to leave the building.
Oh, I must meet those people. but also the six floors are still here, right? Yeah. You got, and I was sorry, boss. What's your name again?
It's Richie.
Richie.
This is Richie, my producer.
Okay,
yeah.
No, a nice guy, very nice guy. Tell me what we can and can't talk about. That's an interesting conversation,
yes.
Which we won't have, obviously.
Good. Brilliant. There's a relief for everybody.
Yeah. And, but the fifth floor, which is sort of the sixth floor because you have a basement, is free for hire, for lease. I might need a place to stay overnight.
Well, you're more than welcome.
How fun would that be?
Chris reminiscing with Christian O'Connell. His relationship with Virgin, of course, was to come to a sticky end the year after he bought it.
I can confirm, on behalf of Virgin Radio, that Chris Evans is no longer a presenter at the station. He has been in breach of his contract, and we were left with no option but to terminate it.
The rise and fall of Evans at the original Virgin. Now, of course, he's sort of back there. It's 1980. You're broadcasting on Radio Caroline from the famous Mi Amigo ship. It's stormy outside. The ship breaks anchor and drifts into shallow water. It's leaking. The crew are pumping out water as best they can, and you're determined to stay on air as long as you can.
Radio Caroline broadcasting on 319 metres, 963 kilohertz. Well, we're sorry to tell you that due to the severe weather conditions and also to the fact that we're shipping quite a lot of water, we're closing down and the crew are at this stage leaving the ship. Obviously, we hope to be back with you as soon as possible, but we'd just like to assure you all on land that there's nothing to worry about. We're all quite safe. Just for the moment, we'd like to say goodbye. Tom?
Yeah, it's not a very good occasion, really. I'll have to hurry this because the lifeboat is standing by. We're not leaving and disappearing. We're going onto the lifeboat, hoping that the pumps can take it. If they can, we'll be back. If not, well, I don't like to say it.
I think we'll be back one way or another,
yeah,
Tom.
I think so.
From all of us, for the moment, goodbye and God bless.
Is that silence on the medium wave that really gets me? The end of the famous Mi Amigo, which had been one of Caroline's original ships from the 60s. It now lies on the seabed. 2017 now, and what's Sarah Cox up to on Red Nose Day?
I did have a moment where I lost it slightly to Prince's When Doves Cry as we started to do sort of chicken impressions. Steve Wright was quite obsessed with my comfort break. I have 5 minutes every hour to change trainers. Greg rubs my feet, which really actually hurts, puts them in a bucket of water, and I eat some peanuts and I pop to the loo and change my socks.
Right, OK. Well, I think you are setting an astonishing standard and lots of people are very impressed and they're watching it online and they can see you moving and they're inspired to give more money and, in fact, dance themselves. So we've got a few surprises in the next couple of hours, actually.
Oh, dear. OK. Yeah.
Sarah Cox with her epic 24-hour 80s dance challenge raising over £1 million. In the 70s, commercial radio began in England. Then it went to Scotland. Then it arrived in Wales. But it wasn't until this month in 76 that it came to Northern Ireland.
In a few moments, the independent local radio programmes of Downtown Radio will be coming on the air. The programmes will begin with a news bulletin read by Michael Beattie at 6 o'clock.
The first newscaster hadn't broadcast as a news journalist before.
while they hadn't mostly been broadcasting before, they had experience in local newspapers and were very mindful of all the subtleties and nuances. And in fact, the reality that their news bulletin was going to be heard by people directly affected by the troubles that were going on. And the news editor at the time always made the point that if there was criticism coming in from both sides of the political debate, then probably the station was doing the right thing.
A reserve policeman's been shot in the neck during a terrorist ambush in County Fermanagh. And in County Tyrone, soldiers narrowly escaped injury when a landmine exploded.
John Rossborough, later programme controller, telling of testing early times at the birth of Downtown Radio in Belfast this week, 44 years ago. Hear more of that on his episode of the Radio Moments Conversations podcast. This week in 74, it was announced that Radio Hallam had won the Sheffield licence against one other contender, and it appointed its first programme director,
Keith Skews.
He was a former Radio 1 presenter and a pirate as well. Here's Keith talking about music programming in 1988.
In future, I can foresee that radio stations will either be oldies orientated or very singles orientated, and that the audience of 35 plus, of which there are huge numbers, will be left well and truly disenfranchised. Because the over-35s were brought up on pop music when the music scene broke in a big way, they will not unnaturally accept oldies as a diet. They'll listen to and enjoy oldies, but it may not be their first choice of music. My thinking is that they would want to hear more album tracks in a format which we would call adult-orientated rock, AOR, which would also include some of today's more melodic sounds.
Predictions 32 years ago from Keith Skews. Radio 2's current breakfast show host Zoe Ball is a little different from the person who took up that role 34 years ago this week, an ex-Fleet Street editor.
Breakfast listening, Radio 2, Derek Jameson.
Morning, morning. Yes, Jameson here, starting yet another career at the age of... Excuse me, yes, everybody's talking.
Everybody's talking.
That was Harry Nilsson, and this is Derek Jameson starting a new job today in a bunker at Broadcasting House. Well, it keeps me off the streets, doesn't it? It's a bit nippy out there this morning, but things could be worse, couldn't they? I mean, you could be out in the blazing sun playing cricket against the West Indies. What about poor old Ian Botham then, eh? More of that later. We'll also be doing battle over a giant lobster and petrol prices. Meanwhile, why have you left the one you left for me?
Music Radio with Derek Jameson as he joined Radio 2 Breakfast this week in 1986, took over from Ken Bruce, actually. So, with XFM Manchester, launched by GCAP 14 years ago...
Francis Lee, Curry Mile, Ian Brown, Ian Curtis, Norman Corsair, Jack and Vera Duckworth.
Part 80s, launching 3 years ago...
Well, this is a little different for a Tuesday morning, isn't it? Hello, I'm Roberto. Welcome to Hard 80s. Let's start with Whitney Houston.
Hard 80s. BBC Radio Guernsey opening, broadcasting then just 1 hour a day, 38 years ago.
We are looking forward to BBC Radio Guernsey adding much to the life of the islands, with its daily broadcasts of local news and information, and on island affairs and events... End of music.
Jack Saunders' first regular morning show on Radio X 3 years ago.
All right, morning people, what's going on? Jack here on Radio X. I'm going to go with a big one from Oasis in just a second. Some Red Hot Chili Peppers on the way as well to start your Monday. First, let's do Fun Loving Criminals.
The death of Keith Fordyce from The Light, Luxie and Radio 2 9 years ago.
Well, hi there, good to be with you again. The first disc needs no introduction from me because you will recognise it.
Capital paying its first shareholder dividend as profits rose to £1.8 million 42 years ago.
Well, this is one man for how are you?
Mellow Magic and TalkSport 2 launching 4 years ago.
TalkSport has so much sport, we're running out of radio to play it.
In fact, we've got enough rugby, cricket, horse racing, boxing, motor racing, and golf for an entire other radio station.
And Broadcasting House becoming the official base for the BBC 88 years ago, and Henry Hall making his first broadcast for the BBC Dance Orchestra from Studio 8A.
Goodbye, everyone, and here's to the next time.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David and Roy, and my guests this week, Duncan Barks, Mark Hills and Kevin Leach. Who knows what next week will bring in life, in radio and on this podcast. Stay safe, stay well, and stay 2 metres away from people if you can.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macazzo.